Today's words of wisdom will be presented in English with subtitles in Arabic, Olafsiz or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Turkish, and Urdu. More languages are available online. For your special language, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/subtitles. The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai titled An Immediate Plan for Afterlife, given on May 28, 1989 in San Francisco, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the seminar. First, let me give you a brief introduction of our Master Ching Hai. Master Ching Hai was born in a Vietnamese family. When she was a little girl, she always followed her parents, who truly believed in God and Jesus Christ, to church on Sundays. During the weekdays, she spent most of her after-school hours with her grandmother, who was a faithful Buddhist, studying all the Buddha's sutras. Because of this special family background, Master Ching Hai has accepted both Catholic and Buddhist teachings since her childhood. Concerning Master's biography, please refer to the free booklet you have in your hand. I personally have been looking for the answers of life since I was a very little boy. I have tried from Buddhism to Christianity, but I have never been satisfied until I met Master Ching Hai. She gave me the answers and woke me up. Thank you, Master. I believe pretty soon that the people who are sitting in this room tonight will have the same feeling as mine. Now, let's again welcome our Supreme Master Ching Hai.
Thank you. Thank you, my friends, brother, sister, father, mother. He came from Boston.
He was initiated about last year?
Yeah.
Last year in Taiwan. I came from Boston. to welcome us. So may I also welcome you. Today I saw that all of you came back from holidays. Is that not so? You come back from vacation? Have a nice vacation? Yeah? Mm. The best vacation we will have when we leave this world. And we go back to the kingdom of heaven. But for this, we must prepare today. It is like before we go on a big vacation or small vacation, we must prepare our luggage, our checkbook, our gasoline, our clothing, and the comforts we need on the road and at the vacation site. So we must prepare today for the final day of our journey. How to prepare this day, most of us do not know. We only know how to prepare for old age, for sickness, life insurance, but nobody prepare for death insurance. And the death insurance is the most necessary insurance that we should remember. When a woman is giving birth to a child, so many people rush to assist her. Or when we get married, a lot of people come and congratulate us and help us prepare the joyful event. So in any circumstances, we have assistance and helpers, except when we depart from this world, no one ever can assist us except the angel of death. Now, people will tell me, no, when I die, the Buddha will come to me and bless me, take me to the Buddha land because I'm a Buddhist. And the Christian will tell me, no, when I die, Jesus will come as my savior and take me back to the kingdom of God. But we forget. Forget what the Buddha say about liberation, about going back to the Buddha land, and we forget about what Jesus say, how we can go back to the kingdom of God. What I am saying now to you is nothing new. It is all stated in the Bible and in the Buddhist scriptures. I only refer to them in order to emphasize that we must follow those advice in order to truly enter into the Buddha's land or the kingdom of God. Now the Buddha say, if someone doesn't meet a Buddha, then he has to run around in the circle of birth and death again and again. He may be born as devas, heavenly beings. He may be born as human being. He may be born in hell or in the animal kingdom, but not in the Buddha land. And what does it mean by Buddha land? The land of the ultimate bliss, of the highest happiness of nirvana, we call that. Now, what is the Buddha? Everybody know the Buddha, but the real meaning of the Buddha, most people do not take care to consider. Buddha, I say again and again, is Sanskrit term for an enlightened master. And that's all there is to it, to a Buddha. Whenever you meet an enlightened master, so you meet a Buddha. The same with the word Christ in Hebrew language means an enlightened saint, a messiah, a savior, one who can lead us to liberation, can bring us back to the kingdom of God. So the Buddha say, if you haven't met such a master or such a Buddha, then your chance of become totally liberated totally know the truth, the true word, the invisible true word, the highest word, your chance to know them is very, very thin. Almost nothing, no chance. You will want heaven, hell, world, and that's it. Running around and around in the world of 84,000. I mean, 84,000 kind of beings, but never become a Buddha. I mean, never become an enlightened, truly, completely enlightened, perfect saint. So that's what the Buddha meant. Now we come to Christ. We forgot what Christ say if we want to go back into the kingdom of God. Now Christ say what? No one can come to the Father except through me. Now what does it mean, me? Me mean the Son of God. Mean the one who knows God completely, the one who recognizes God within him, the one who has discovered the kingdom within his heart. Because, lo and behold, the kingdom is within you. No one say the kingdom is outside. Everyone say Buddha is in your heart. Everyone say the kingdom is at hand, within you. Now, it's not only Buddhist and Christian Bible say so. All other scriptures say the same. I must even take more time to study the Sikh scriptures. And I must say to you, the Sikh scriptures are so complete. The book is called Adi Granth. Inside are all kind of saying of the great ancient master from all over the world. They all praise the inner power of God. They all praise the inner light, the inner vibration, the sound of the universe. The unstruck, the Guru Nanak said, the unstruck music. He said, thy unstruck music nourish me, make me wise, make me become humble. And he knows that. He knows God through this unstruck music. Guru Nanak is the founder of Sikh religion. And he say many things similar to Jesus, to Buddha, in praising of this inner vibration, which is the word in the Bible, which is the Guan Yin, Guan Am, the south stream in the Buddhism. And in all other religious scriptures, I have found mention about this inner sound, which liberates and nourishes all beings and bring all beings back to God when the time comes. Now Jesus say, no one can come to my Father except through me. He doesn't mean that big ego I, proud, ignorant I. He means that me, who is real one, the one who is awakened, the inner man, the radiant one, the wise one, the one who knows everything, who owns everything, who can make everything, who can accomplish everything without doing anything. Just like Lao Tzu says, doing but not doing, wei wu wei. What is it when we come to the state of doing and not doing? It is we lose the ego. This is the egoless state of attainment when I and my Father are one. It is the same like doing and not doing. Or like the Buddha say, giving charity without knowing that you are giving charity. That is the real charity. Or like Jesus say, when you give someone by the left hand, don't let your right hand know about it. That is all the same meaning by egoless state of enlightenment. So when Jesus say, no one comes to the Father except through me, he means the enlightened one, me. Because Jesus at that time, he was enlightened. And if we follow him, that enlightened Jesus, then we would go back to the Father. That's exactly what he meant. But when Jesus has left this world, then we must follow another one who is on earth. Another enlightened master. Be he Hindu, be he from India, from America, or from whatever country. I think American has a great enlightened master in recent time, Emerson.
What did Emerson say that is so strikingly similar to the egoless state? He said, a great burden falls away from our shoulder if we let God rule the universe. If we let God rule the universe. And now what happened to us? We are ruling the whole universe. We take care of everything with our little limited intelligence and very, very weak physical power. So we are exhausted, tired, and muddled in our head. Because we don't let God rule the universe, we rule it. And we rule God as well. We tell Him what to do. Every day we tell Him, please God help me. You must make my son pass the exam. Please take good care of my daughter, that she will get a good merit. My business is not running well, please run faster. So every day we dictate God what to do. So we get nothing from that, then we get angry and frustrated. And sometimes we go out of our religion thinking God doesn't hear us. Or we may think we are just a kind of superstitious person. We think religion is no good. It is because we see no proof from religious devotion. But those who are faithful in any religions find some solution, find some existing power from God, however little that might be. So we heard a lot about the saints. So like in this city, San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Clara, yes, all these are the past great masters, but they're in Spanish name. Yeah? San Francisco, it is San Francis. Is that right? San Francis in Spanish becomes San Francisco, and that's all there is to it. It's the same one, the same famous San Francis. Now, what made him become a saint? Maybe he has a very good enlightened master to guide him. Then he became a very great saint. If he practiced himself and really devoted, maybe he also become a saint of a lesser degree. He may become compassionate and became very humble and became very, somehow very, very devoted to God. But a real saint, a highest order saint, he is like the Buddha. He is like Guru Nanak. He is like Jesus Christ. They are the saints of the highest order. How do we know that? We know from the examples of their lives. We know how they save sentient beings. We know how they liberate others from the bondage of birth and death, of suffering and misery. The Buddha can be anywhere at the same time. Jesus can be anywhere also at the same time. He has the power of healing the suffering of others at an instant. And the same with Guru Nanak of the Sikh religion, or the same with Krishna of Hinduism, and the same with other saints in the past. I cannot tell you, because the saints from the past are numerous. You cannot count. But some saints are higher and some saints are less in degree. Now, by thy fruits shalt thou be known. Yeah. So we can judge a saint from his power and from his deeds. Doesn't mean a saint has to be famous to become a greater saint. No, not necessary. Mostly when a saint is alive, he's not so famous and he's persecuted by many jealous people, like Jesus, like Guru Nanak, or the 10th guru of the Sikh, Guru Gobind Singh. Gobind Singh, he was chased from one place to another for what he has done, because he helped people. He preached the truth to people and they worship him because they got the experience. They know what he say is true. They know what he say is the real things. They know he did not cheat them. They got the proof of enlightenment from Guru Gobind Singh or Guru Nanak or Krishna or whomever when they were alive. Therefore, they believe him. And they believe Jesus because Jesus gave them proof. They believe Buddha because Buddha gave them proof immediately of enlightenment. So people worship them. The more the disciple worship them, the more other people get jealous. So they gave them trouble. Therefore, when a master was alive, it's not necessary that the master's life is very smooth and easy and that everybody come to their feet and worship them. Maybe some not. On the contrary, in the ancient times, the master's life is very, very hard to preserve, very difficult to be a master openly. Now we go back to the me of Jesus. Why he say that everyone has to follow him? Otherwise they go to the lower sphere of creation, like hell. It is because if you don't have an enlightened master, it is difficult for you alone to swim across the sea of existence into the other shore of free land, of liberation. That is the meaning of that. It's just like we could also learn to swim ourselves, but it is dangerous. It's better to learn with an expert who can swim, who knows, and also he can swim across that river many times. You know where is the whirlpool, where is some dangerous water, where is so deep, and so, where are rocks underneath. So he can take you very easily, like a captain of a ship who is sailing across a big water many times. He knows. And most of the Christian people believe that Jesus was the only one. The same with most of the Buddhist people, they believe that Shakyamuni Buddha is the one and only Buddha in the world and ever born or yet to come for many thousands of years. Now we forget what the Buddha say. I told you yesterday, he said, I already become Buddha and you will become Buddha. Everyone can become Buddha in one lifetime. And Jesus also say, every being are children of God. What I can do, you can also do even greater and better than I do. That's what Jesus say. He didn't say, I do better than you, and you can never do it. So we forget that, and we look down upon ourself. We forgot that we have kingdom within. Now if the kingdom is within us, as the Bible stated, why don't we look within and find where it is? Or ask someone who has found it within. It's so simple as that. And now if the Buddha say, Buddha nature is within you, and everyone possess this Buddha nature, then why don't we also look within and see where our Buddha is, instead of going to the temple and bow to the wooden image? Only after we know where our Buddha nature is, then we can worship Buddha more. We can worship Shakyamuni even more fervently. I mean more faithfully, more sincerely, and more vigorously. And only when after we saw Jesus, or we saw the Christ within us, we saw the kingdom within us, do we truly know how to love Jesus? Do we truly know how to appreciate him? Can we truly worship God then? At the moment, if we haven't known God yet, if you have known already, forgive me. I mean the majority people, when they have not known God, God is only an abstract conception of nothing. Don't know what God is. Everybody say God is love. But love what? What is love? If he loves me, why every day I'm so miserable? Why I have no money he didn't give me? Why I'm sick he didn't heal me? Why I'm in trouble, I call him, he didn't come for it. So we can't know God's love if we not in contact with him. So the purpose of my talk is that I have the way that you can contact with this love power or the kingdom within or the Buddha nature within yourself. And every day you will know that love. You will know that God is love. God is not a person, two person, with a big bear like this. But God is truly love, L-O-V-E. So when God is love, means if we got in touch with God, we are loved. What it means? We are taken care of.
From then on, 24 hours, every day, every minute of the day, we will know He is there. Love is there, surrounding us, emitted from us, and envelop us, and then also radiated to all directions and benefited others. And that is a true love. Not to embrace one another and say, I love you, but the sense of universal love. You carry this love, you sleep with this love, you eat with this love, you know it, but you don't talk about it even, ever anymore. You are so sure of that, that words is useless. And now we're going around screaming, love, 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 God is love, I love you, everybody love each other. But then a minute later, we fight. We talk a lot, and we have nothing. Just like everyone screaming, money, money, and they have none. And now a millionaire, he doesn't go around screaming, I have money, he just have it. And he knows it for sure, and he's so secure about it. He walk around laughing. And when everybody talk about money, arguing on the money, about a few penny on the street, he laugh. He say, what is worth a few penny and arguing like that? Understand, he has so much, he can't believe people argue over pennies. The same when an enlightened saint walks around, he doesn't talk about God or about Buddha, he doesn't argue anymore. He knows what God is. He is with God. He is in God. Or you may say he and God are one, like Jesus said. But then that person doesn't always every day going around sticking his nose in the air and saying, I and God are one. Or let people smell about this. No, no. That person will be so humble, so just lovable, and it's just normal. And so the Taoism would say, 心平常是道. The ordinary mind is the Tao. Now, we hear that the ordinary mind is the Tao. So we say, okay, then I'm ordinary person, I have an ordinary mind, I don't need to meditate, I don't need to pray to God, I don't need to do anything, I don't need to get enlightenment. Because ordinary mind is the Tao. Only in its true sense, when you have got the Tao, when you're really ordinary, mean very, very sensible, ordinary, normal. But ordinary people are not normal. Why? Because our minds are disturbed by all kind of thinking, all kind of vexations. This is not ordinary mind. An ordinary mind means he sleep when he's tired, he eat when he's hungry, he has no vexation in his mind waves. He is enlightened without thinking that he is enlightened. He is a Buddha without worrying that he is a Buddha, without being proud about his status. He just eat and sleep like everyone, but he is a Buddha. He's so ordinary in his heart. He's so peaceful, so harmonized with all beings. He has no hatred, no worry, no anxiety, no vexation. And that is really an ordinary mind, a mind of an enlightened person. Even when they're eating, they can manifest their body in all over the countries and universes to save all kinds of sentient beings. Even when they're sleeping, their manifestation body fly all over the universe, hell, heavens, rescue all beings and teaching all kind of beings. But then, he is very ordinary. And that is what's called 心平常是道. An ordinary mind is the Tao. Not that we ordinary person have this Tao. We have it, but we are not still enough to recognize it. Those who are still enough, quiet enough within, they recognize the Tao. They know it, so they became enlightened, they became Buddha or saints or Christ or one with God. That is the difference between an ordinary mind and an ordinary being. But why Jesus say no one comes through Father except through me? And is he still having an ego? No, he only spoke the truth for the purpose of enlightening others. Otherwise, he couldn't care less. He would just eat and sleep instead of sacrificing his body, weary health and speech to speak to a lot of ignorant people. When Lord Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, he also say, when you worship me, then you will attain true liberation. You have to devote to me, worship me, listen to my instruction, obey my commandment, and love me alone. Then you get true liberation. Now it sounds like a big ego. But no, it is like the same in the case of Jesus. The me is not the I ego. The me is a real man within us, the what we call but Lai Mian Mu, the real face, our real face before yesterday, as is the talking in Zen Buddhism. The me is the inner man, the real one who will be awakened as the time of initiation from a competent master. We remember the story of the Sleeping Beauty. Wait till the prince come, give her a kiss of life, and then she is awakened. In the old day, people dare not speak about enlightenment and practicing openly, so they use parable. Yeah, it's like covering up by a story. Yeah, and then using that to talk to other people, and their disciple understand. Ordinary people might not be easy to understand. And after they practice with this enlightened master, they will also be able to understand. Okay, we have three nations here in this assembly. I feel actually honored and proud and happy that God or the Most High or the Buddha has granted us this honor to be together at least for a few hours in our very, very busy times and in our modern and very hurried times, that we could even find time to sit together, three nationalities in different countries. And I came from Taiwan the first time to meet you, where I feel I'm at home. I don't feel any separation whatsoever. And do you? You feel or not? Yes or no? No. I feel nothing, no separation, as I have known you for long, 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 long time. And this makes me so joyful. And no words can explain this. Now we see that in the three religious scriptures, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Sikh, or other like Taoism, they also mention that you have to believe in a master, a living master, and follow that master instruction in order to get liberation. They don't say that for that you may come and worship at their feet. No, they just tell the truth. And actually, these masters do not accept people's offering and worship. They only means in a literal sense. I mean, you have to worship the instructions of the master. Therefore, Jesus doesn't say, you must worship me in person. He say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, that's what it means by worship me, the master. Why is that? The true master don't accept people offering and worship because they are so humble. They know it. Each and everyone has the true master within him and herself. And so this true master, or our real face from yesterday, or the kingdom within, or the real man, has to be awakened. And that's all there is to it. And then you find your master. Before you find that, and you could not do, if you could do it yourself, then fine and good. If you could not, then ask someone who had already awakened his or her own inner self. And it's so simple. It's the meaning of a master who can help us to awaken our real self within. You see, some people ask me the same question again and again. If we have the heaven within, if we have the Buddha nature within our heart, why couldn't we find it alone? Why do we have to go to a master anyway? I say, if you can find it alone, then welcome. It is pretty tough, difficult. The road to heaven is like a blazer hedge. This is difficult to walk alone without the help of someone who knows the road. Because narrow is the road that leads to liberation. Broad and wide is the road to destruction, and many will walk therein. Why is it so difficult to walk in the road of liberation? It is because it's counterstream. We call it ni liu. People are swimming in pleasures, in sensual enjoyments, and we are in the opposite direction. It is difficult to swim counter current. So we need the help of someone who is a little bit stronger, who knows the road, who has developed a little bit more power in advance, it means before us. And later we will grow strong and we become like the same.
Supreme Master Ching-Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try it alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Peace-loving viewers, thank you for your kind-hearted company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again on Friday for part two of Supreme Master Ching-Hai's inspiring lecture, An Immediate Plan for Afterlife. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success, coming up next after Noteworthy News. May your noble dreams be realized and your life be overflowed with the boundless love from heaven.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.